نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر. وقال تعالى: الحج أشهر معلومات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن هذه الأيام العشرة: أكثروا فيهن التهليل والتكبير والتحميد. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, brothers and friends, Alhamdulillah, week in and week out, we are very blessed to be able to congregate for the Jumu'ah Salah. And indeed, this is a very blessed congregation. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that من اغتسل يوم الجمعة وغسل وبكر وابتكر ودنا واستمع وأنصت, that the individual who takes a bath on the day of Jumu'ah and he thoroughly bathes, and thereafter he comes early and he sits closely, he listens attentively and he remains silent, for that individual, every footstep he takes, then the reward of a year's fasting and standing is written for each footstep. And the ulama mentioned that the Friday of the day of Dhul Hijjah, or the days of Dhul Hijjah, a Friday occurring therein, is more virtuous than other Fridays of the year. But the fact of the matter is that when something becomes routine, it's a natural instinct within an individual to become accustomed. And we begin to take things for granted. And we end up in this state of autopilot where we simply go through the motions without really internalizing the significance of our performances and the time we find ourselves in. And this is why we are instructed to mutually remind. Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that remind. Why? For indeed reminding is beneficial for the believers. And very often when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His signs, He speaks of those signs that we have become very accustomed to, and those that we fail to appreciate even though they are extraordinary. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. From His signs are the night, the day, the sun and the moon. You know, in our houses, if the electrics go off, we all gather around the mains until the lights come back on and we are anxious. Yet, we always sleep and we rest assured that the sun will rise tomorrow without thinking what the consequences would be if that was not to be the case. On another occasion, Allah Ta'ala, He tells us, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ وَلِيُذِيقَكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. From His signs is that He sends the winds as glad tidings, and so that He may allow you to taste from His mercy. Again, in our modern age, where all our amenities and our groceries are a short drive away or a single click away, we fail to appreciate the value of such a blessing. We simply see it as a temperamental change within the weather or an inconvenience. Yet for the farmers and sailors, this is a great source of blessings. It signifies the rainfall, as a result of which we have the food before us. On another occasion, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارُ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, that from His signs is your sleeping during the night and in the day, and you're seeking from His grace. That an individual cannot imagine the hardship he would face if his days were continuous and there was no opportunity to rest and to separate the days through the sleeping. So if an individual climbs out of this spiritual state of sleepiness and slumber and he truly internalizes his blessings, he is left in awe at the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that continuously surround him. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. He has given you everything which you asked for. And if you were to count the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you would not be able to exhaust them. And according to one explanation, He has given you everything which you didn't ask for. Meaning we are unaware of certain blessings which we only realize later on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these blessings. So knowing our temperament and our disposition to normalize these extraordinary things which are not ordinary in any sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His mercy set up various methods whereby we can remain spiritually alert and in tune with these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And this is why we find in the ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for each occasion of the day, he usually had a dua. Upon awakening, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for restoring his life upon awakening. And before eating, he would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering this blessing before him. Again, something which we take for granted. And before sleeping, he would supplicate with so many du'as that are mentioned in the books of ahadith. On each occasion, constantly bringing to mind the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only have we been facilitated through various supplications and du'as for each occasion, but again, knowing the nature of man and that he becomes accustomed to things very quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has maintained variety and levels to keep us engaged at all times. Within places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept differences, so we are constantly aware of our surroundings. A person praying at home is not the same as an individual praying in the masjid with regards to the menfolk. It is more virtuous for them to be praying in the masjid rather than praying at home, whereas the converse is the case with the womenfolk. They are rewarded more for praying at home than praying in the masjid. Similarly, when it comes to offering salah in the congregation, this is not the same as praying salah in isolation, where the salah offered in congregation, it receives a 25 to 27 times multiplication. And even within the masajid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has maintained differences, that the person who prays salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, a person offering salah in this masjid, then according to various narrations, his salah is multiplied by 250 or 500 or even 1,000 times, as opposed to praying in any other masjid. Similarly, praying in Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person receives 1,000 times more reward than praying in any other masjid, except Masjid al-Aqsa. And finally, a person who offers his salah in Masjid al-Haram, he receives 100,000 times increase and multiplication of reward than praying in any other masjid. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He has kept differences between places, He has also kept differences between people. Allah Ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, that those messengers, we gave preference to some of them and we gave virtue to some of them over others. This is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of various prophets. Some He names, some He does not mention their name. And some are mentioned more frequently than others. Some Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave them revelations and scriptures. Others followed the revelations of a previous prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has maintained this difference and variety. And similarly, Allah ta'ala tells us, انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض وللآخرة أكبر درجات وأكبر تفضيلا. Allah ta'ala tells us to look at the differences between people, that look as to how we have given certain people preference and virtue over others. And the ulama say this is with regards to sustenance. Then Allah Ta'ala reminds us that the akhirah, the hereafter, will be even greater in degrees and in terms of preference. So there is a lesson for us to be learned here as well, that when we vie with one another and we rival each other with regards to the dunya, we should be aware of what is really worth vying for, which are the degrees and the stations of the hereafter. And so just as Allah Ta'ala has kept these differences between places and people, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even within time periods, He has kept differences. That on the face of it, it may seem that a single day is the same 24 hours repeating itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept some days more virtuous than other days. And we find ourselves in these most blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, which are extremely beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they are so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath by these days in the Quran. And the general law is, An oath is taken when something is worth emphasizing and stressing. And in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entirety of the world is under His dominion. And so when Allah ta'ala takes an oath on something, then the importance of the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath on becomes magnified. And Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْقِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Allah ta'ala takes an oath by daybreak, and then He says, by the 10 nights, and by the odd, and by the even. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, he explains this oath. That he explained that the 10 nights, these are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the odd, this is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. And the 10th, the day of Nahr, the day of sacrifice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained that this is the even which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in the Quran. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells us about the great value of this day. He mentions, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ. That there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, not even fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, not even fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for that person who leaves with his life and his wealth and he comes back with nothing. And again the ulama explained that the reason the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked this question is that they were very well aware of the great virtue of fighting in the path of Allah ta'ala, and so they use this as a measure to gauge the significance and the enormity of the value of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And it is for this reason that a'mal are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has even prescribed what should be done during these days. He tells us in a hadith about these days, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. That abundantly recite the tahleel, la ilaha illallah, the takbir, glorifying and singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness, saying Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as we, in the month of Ramadan, especially during the last 10 nights, we remained awake, trying to capitalize on each moment to gain the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And we fasted during its days. Once again, we have this opportunity where we can fast and we are able to stay awake during the night with a great reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامِ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا يَعْدِلُ الصِّيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِالصِّيَامِ سَنَةً وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. That each fast of these 10 days, it is equivalent to fasting an entire year. And standing during any of these nights, it is equivalent to standing for the night of, or in the night of power. And we all know the great value of the night of power. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. It is more virtuous than a 1,000 months. And especially during these nights, which are very short, and many of us will even stay awake until Fajr Salah. So when the nights are short, this is the apt time for us to capitalize on the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept during these 10 days. And we also keep in mind that just as much as these days are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worshipping, at the same time, there is also a warning with regards to these days. Allah ta'ala says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. That these are from the sacred months. The four sacred months, Dhul Hijjah is from among these months. Allah ta'ala tells us, do not wrong yourselves in them. And where worshipping is of great virtue during these days, staying away from sin is a form of worship. As the hadith mentions, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنَ عَبَدَ النَّاسِ. Stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be from those who are considered the most worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And The ulama have given various reasons for why these days are so blessed and hold such a great position. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he wrote an entire book specifically about the Islamic months and their virtues and what should be done therein. And he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has placed the love to visit his house in the heart of every individual. And thus Hajj is obligatory once in a lifetime for an individual. But it may not be the case that every year every believer is able to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these 10 days such that both the pilgrim and the resident, the one staying at home, they can all benefit from the blessings of these 10 days and they can increase in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the great scholar of hadith, Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he gives a reason for why these days are extremely blessed. He says, no other set of days are such where all the principal forms of worship come together. That during these days, there is the salah, there is the fasting, which is extremely virtuous. And if a person is to give his zakah, then, or extra forms of charity, again, this can be done during these days. But the act of and the performance of Hajj is exclusive for these days. So all the pillars of Islam come together during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So it has been given that additional virtue and merit. So when one carefully studies the reason behind the significance of these days, then it is very closely linked to the Hajj. And in fact, the month itself derives its name from the Hajj, Dhul Hijjah, meaning the one of the Hajj. And its association with Hajj is what makes it from among the best days of the year. And there is a deep meaning for each and every one of us to take from this. That just as these are the best days of the year, each and every person will have one day in his life which will be the deal breaker. It will be the day of his death, which will either be the best day of his life or the worst day of his life. As we see that the five pillars of Islam, they become less and less frequent. The five daily salahs we offer five times a day, 365 days a year. The fasting, 30 days, 365 days a year. The zakah, it's once a year. But the hajj is once in a lifetime, the obligatory hajj. And again, there is a deep symbolism here that we undertake this journey in simulating that very important day which will only occur once, which is the day of our death. And alhamdulillah, having been given the opportunity this year to perform the hajj, and many of us may be going for the hajj, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he takes each and every one of us to visit his house time and again, at least for the umrah, which is regarded as the smaller hajj. When one reads what the ulama have written about the deep significance of Hajj and what it signifies, one is astounded that this is not merely a ritual, but there is deep meanings that a person is to take away from these. And the ulama write that there are two major themes that play out during the Hajj. One is the recollection of a person's death, and the other is the deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, both are connected. When an individual is deeply absorbed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is able to sacrifice his life, his health, his wealth, all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, "Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'ah." Whoever wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, he loves to meet that individual. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah ta'ala loves to meet that individual. So one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked, that we all dislike death, meaning it's a natural thing within a person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replies that that is not it, that is not what is meant here. But rather, when death overcomes a believer and he is given the good news of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and his honoring, then on that occasion, nothing becomes more beloved to that person than what is ahead of him, what he sees unfolding before him, and he, at this point, he wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him. And furthermore, the Hajj is reenacting the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was absorbed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that his title was Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. And this is a very special term that many words can be used to denote a friend. But Khalil is that friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is thoroughly absorbed and permeated by the love of Allah ta'ala, such that no gap, no khalal is left, and there is no space for anything other than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it also reminds a person of his death. That when the pilgrim sets off for the Hajj, he leaves behind his entire family. And in a similar manner, when he will pass away, the people will carry him and his family will follow him to a certain point. And then he will be donning the two white sheets for the ihram. And at this point, he must strip himself of every luxury. He can no longer perfume himself. And all the pleasures of the world, he has to now desist from. In a similar manner, when we are taken away from this world, we will also have to leave behind the things that are beloved to us. And then, when the pilgrim, he undertakes the Hajj and he experiences the hardships, then, just like the rations and the provisions he takes with him, these are now delightful to him. In a similar manner, when a person dies and the hardships of the next stages come upon him, only those rations which he took away from this world, his good a'mal, will be of benefit to him. And thereafter, he goes and he performs tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, remembering that scene where on the Day of Judgment, the angels will be thronging around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, when he performs the sa'i 7 times between Safa and Marwa, he is reminded of that occasion where everybody will be running frantically from one prophet to another, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the judgment. And then the various sites that the pilgrim visits on the days of Hajj, following their leader. Again, we are reminded where Allah ta'ala says, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. We will call each person and we will call the people with their leaders. And finally, when he stands on the plains of Arafah, that place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from each person before they came into this world, Allah ta'ala asked each of us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. Am I not your Lord? And we all testified in his two sheets where everybody is together and everything looks the same. We are reminded of that occasion where we made this pledge, and throughout our lives we live occasionally in ignorance of this pledge. So all of the performances and rites of Hajj, they remind an individual of this reality of his death and all of the stages beyond. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that first and foremost, he allows us to benefit from these 10 days that are upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allows us to make the adequate preparation in these best days so that we can prepare to make our best day, which will be the day of our demise. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.